Good morning, everybody.
Let's open up the scriptures for this morning. In Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we're going to read a good portion of scripture as a basis for my message today. I've entitled my message, Law in Grace. And hopefully you'll understand what I mean by that as I go through my message. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if he dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taken opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Verse 12 we read says, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Now throughout this series of messages that I've been doing, I've spoken a lot about grace. And there was a purpose for that, because I believe that we really need to get a full understanding of the outworking of God's grace in our life. And how grace works. I just want to remind or just point a few things again in terms of grace before I go and look at the whole aspect of law once again, but in a different light today. Grace is the great universal justifier. Strict application of law will justify nobody. And I've already preached on this, so I don't want to go into the details. Nobody can come before God and use the pedigree of their right living to say to God, look, God, I have done everything right. Now, therefore, you must accept me into your rest. Because it doesn't work with God. As a matter of fact, if I understand what Jesus says through the parables, Jesus will look at you and say, well, I don't know you. If this is the basis upon which you want to find justification with God, your righteous living or your right living will not amount to much. You can't try to deal the card of right living with God and say, look at my hand. Will this accept me in your presence? Because God will say no. It's only through grace. It's only through what Jesus has done. It is grace that produces our righteousness. We are not righteous out of our own workings. We are righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. That's what grace does. So grace is the universal justifier. Grace is the fulfillment of the law because it fulfills the objectives of the law. Romans 13 verse 10 says this, love is the fulfillment of the law. The purpose of law was to teach us, and I'm going to go into more details in a moment, how to love God and how to love one another. That's the outcome that God was looking for. That's what God intended for us, is to understand how to get on with one another and how to get on with God. And through the law, he was trying to teach in the Old Testament, teach the children of Israel, this is how life ought to look like. This is what life is about. Life is about you knowing how to get on with your neighbor and knowing how to get on with God and put God first in your life. That's not a commandment. That's the outcome. That's the product. That's what God was looking for. But you know what we did? What sin did is that we took law and we made law, or the application of law, the actual purpose of law. No, the purpose of law is not law. The purpose of law is love. The purpose of law is that society can get and work well together. You know, there's a purpose behind speed limits. Even though some of us might not understand that, there's a purpose behind it. It's not the strict application of speed limits. The purpose is that you won't have an accident and kill somebody. So there's a purpose that was behind God's law, and that purpose was made very clear that God wants us to love one another and God wants us to love him. The point of God's law is to produce an environment where we can enjoy life to the full based on two main accomplishments, that we get on with God and get on with one another. And grace fulfills that. Grace actually fulfills that. When you get an understanding of the fullness of God's grace for you, it changes you to the point that you love God and you love your neighbor. It produces the very purpose of what the law was wanting to produce. Grace is an environment of total freedom to be who we are called to be who we are supposed to be according to God's purpose and design, whilst enjoying relationships with one another. It is an environment of total freedom, not to be what we want to be out of our misunderstanding of life. It's an environment, it's a freedom to be who God has called us to be according to his purpose and design. God accepts everybody through the process of grace. But in grace, he transforms us and he changes us and he restores us and he heals us. He doesn't want to leave us the way we were. He wants to change us through the process of grace. Now, the question that I have today, does that mean that there's actually no place and no purpose at all for law? Does that mean that now we kind of throw out law altogether and ignore law? Is there a purpose to law? We read in the scripture in introduction in Romans chapter 7 in verse 12, therefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So if the scripture says that the law is holy, then is there a purpose or is there a place for law today? Now, up until now, I've made it clear that we have used law. We have used law to try to justify ourselves and to appease God's wrath. And I kind of gave a definition in the early stages of this series. Law is a system that drives us to do all things possible to justify ourselves before God, which we see as judge, because our conscience accuses us, thus hopefully appeasing God. It is a system of self-justification. So if we look at it from that perspective, self-justification and trying to appease God, of course there's no place in law. But what if today, what if we strip from law, what if we take away from law that whole desire to justify ourselves or that whole need to justify ourselves and that whole need to want to appease the wrath of God? What if we take it away? What if we remove the whole guilt and condemnation thing? What if we remove from law the whole need to justify ourselves? We can't justify ourselves through anything that we do. And last week I spoke about God's anger. We understand that God's anger has been appeased. So we don't need to fear God. We don't need to fear the anger of God. And we don't need to try to justify ourselves through anything we do. So if we take law and we strip it of its power in terms of taking away self-justification and taking away the need to appease God, what does law look like? And where does that leave law? So what does law without self-justification and fear of God's wrath and punishment look like? So I'd like to talk about four things that we need to understand about law today. And keep in mind that it's law that is stripped of self-justification and stripped of fear of punishment, okay? Because if we keep the self-justification in it, it doesn't work. If we keep the desire to want to appease the wrath of God, law is going to be destructive. As we read in Romans chapter 7, law will destroy us. Law will bring death. We don't want that. But what if we take away from it the need to justify ourselves and the fear of God's punishment? What are the points that we need to remember about law? Well, the first one, we need to actually understand one thing. Point number one is that there are natural consequences to breaking the law. Even if we strip it from self-justification, we strip self-justification and we take away the fear of punishment, we still need to understand that there are natural consequences or spiritual consequences or whatever, however way you look at it, there are consequences to breaking the law. Try breaking the law of gravity without consequences. Try teaching and disciplining your children without the concept of consequences. Try doing that. Try telling your child, well, you know, if you do that, that's wrong, and then don't have any consequences to what you're teaching them. It just doesn't work. They're just going to look at you and say, well, so what? There are consequences to breaking the law. Every law we teach in the Bible is taught on the basis of preventing us from hurting ourselves and hurting others because we understand that there are consequences to breaking law. Now, unfortunately, as a church in general, and I'm not talking about us here, I'm talking about the church in general, we haven't taught the consequences well. We've displaced the consequences outside of the realms of the gospel message. We've taught that the consequences are that God will punish us, that God will reject us, and that we will end up losing our salvation. Now, we've settled that now. But that doesn't mean that there aren't real consequences to breaking the law. It doesn't mean that there aren't real and immediate consequences either. Now, I don't have time to unpack every consequence of every single law or rule or the way, whatever the Bible teaches us, but I can give you some general thoughts. First of all, when we break the law of God, when we break the scriptures, when we go against the scriptures, when we disobey what God asks us to do, it gives legal access to demonic activity and strongholds in our life. That's the truth. Now, I'm not talking about the wrath of God here because we've removed it. I'm not talking about self-justification, but I am talking about real and immediate consequences to us breaking the law. And that's one of them, is that it will give access to the enemy. And once it gives access to the enemy, well, that leads to a miserable life, to an unbearable life. You might be a Christian. You might understand your salvation, but I can tell you one thing, is that once the enemy has a hold of you, he will destroy your life. That's his objective. And that's one of the consequences of the of breaking the law, or of going against the word of God. Going against the word of God destroys relationships. Yeah, God has put in place certain way of living, certain ways of enjoying husband and wife relationships. All of those things, certain ways of running our families, all of these things are in the Word of God. Everything about social living is written in the Word of God. We follow those rules, we will enjoy great relationship. We follow the Word of God, we will enjoy a great life and life to the full. The moment we break the Word of God, then we see relationships around us fall to pieces. And that's true. That is real. That's nothing to do about God coming down and wanting to punish us. That is truth. That's just what happens when we go against the word of God. Earlier on, Bill talked about shame and guilt and condemnation, all of these things. I can tell you one thing. Once we open up the doors to the enemy in our life, he will come down strong on us with shame, guilt, and condemnation, even if you stripped out of law the whole thing of not being afraid of God's wrath. Even if you take that equation out of it, the enemy will come strong with shame, guilt, and condemnation. It gives power to fear in our lives, which ends up paralyzing us. We can't enjoy life to the full when we have fear in our life. You break the word of God, you go against the word of God, you will fill your heart and your life with fear as a result of that. And you will not be able to enjoy life to the full. It takes us into cycles of destructive cycles of addiction. It opens up doors in certain cases. It opens up doors to sicknesses and disease. Not in every case, but in certain cases it does. There are real and immediate consequences and long-term consequences to us disobeying and disregarding what the Scripture says. Teaches us to do, all within the realm of grace. Now, does that God reject us? No, God does not reject us, but he just teaches us, choose this day. If you do this, you will enjoy life. If you do that, then it's going to take away from you. And that has nothing to do with God going against grace. It has all to do with the reality of life in this world today. Today, for instance, the Western world is reaping the consequences of doors that we open to both sexual promiscuity and the way we were taught to raise our children way back in the 60s and 70s. Today, we are reaping the consequences of that. Broken families, boys and girls who are confused about their sexual orientation. Everything we are seeing today, the breakdown of our society, is a consequence of things that we were taught and against the word of God in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's a consequence. Does that take away God's grace? It doesn't take away God's grace. It's just a fact. It's just how life is. So that's the first thing we need to understand about law. The second thing we need to understand about law is this, is that law is a teacher. Now, once we've got into our brains the reality that there are consequences to our actions, there are consequences to going against the word of God, then we can understand how law works as a teacher. Galatians 3, verses 23 to 26 says, "But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor or our teacher to lead us to Christ that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Law is a teacher. Law teaches us what is right and what is wrong, and teaches us the consequences of doing right and doing wrong. If we do this well, law will establish a foundation for living that will last all our life, enabling us to enjoy by faith a life that is justified by faith. I've often said that I was raised in an environment, in a church environment, that was very, very legalistic. Now, not everything was wrong. Because the truth of the matter is, here I am today. But the reality is, in that environment, there were a lot of things that was taught to me that I knew was wrong, and the things that I knew were right. And I followed them, and I was afraid because of the consequences. Now, maybe the consequences that were taught to me were put into the wrong perspective, but the reality is that I did not want to break what they taught me. I did not want to go against it, and it laid a foundation in my life where today I can enjoy in grace the boundaries of good living and living life to the full. So I didn't want to break those rules. I didn't want to break the law. Now, I believe that if we can do it well, if we can teach those, if we can teach the law in an environment of grace, an understanding of the consequences of our action, it will lay the right foundation, not just in the lives of our children, but in the lives of those who come to Christ from an environment that is totally lawless. If we can teach them the Word of God within grace, then it helps them to enjoy the life of faith and the life of grace. Does that make sense? Okay, the third thing is that law should be understood and taught in terms of principles and understanding the spirit of the law. There is the letter of the law and there is the spirit of the law. Applying law by the letter kills. 2 Corinthians 3:6 said, God also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. When law is stripped of self-justification and fear of punishment, we begin to understand that applying the law to the letter just doesn't make sense. We do not apply law for the sake of law. We apply law for the sake of an outcome. And the outcome, as we said in introduction, is an outcome of love and relationships and an outcome of a relationship with God. That is the spirit of the law. That is what God intends to fulfill through us. If we apply the law by the spirit of the law, it will kill, it will destroy. If we apply the law just for the sake of law, oh, you have broken the law, that's bad, then it's not going to fulfill anything. We need to understand the purpose and the spirit behind the Word of God and what God is trying to teach us and what God is trying to produce in our life. The overall intent of law is love, not strict application of law. Romans 13, 8 to 10 says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And number four, the fourth thing we need to understand about law, which is a real important one, I think, is that harnessing the law or harnessing the teachings of the scripture, harnessing the word of God actually enhances our freedom. You know, we don't need to fear the law of gravity and aerodynamics if we learn to harness them. Now, if you don't know how to harness them, you fall and you break a leg. But if you know how to harness them, then you can pilot a helicopter or an airplane. And you can go from Melbourne to Paris and enjoy a holiday in France because some engineer actually knew how to harness the laws of gravity and aerodynamics. Now, most of us don't know how to harness them. We will do a lot of damage. But if we know how to harness, and we go back now to the Word of God, if we know how to harness the Word of God, if we understand the principles of the Word of God, and we teach them and apply them in our lives, not to the letter, but according to the Spirit of what God is trying to teach us, we take the Word of God and we harness the Word of God in our lives, then it will actually enhance our freedom. it will actually enable us to enjoy life to a greater extent than we've ever enjoyed it before. That's why it is so important. Learning the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God is not a law. Reading the Word of God, if we apply it by understanding the spirit of law, is that by reading and studying the Word of God, it will teach us how to apply the Word of God so that we can then live life to the full and live life in greater freedom. So the harnessing the Word of God and harnessing the law actually enhances our freedom. What I would like to do in this second part of my message is actually revisit a diagram that you'll probably remember once it's up there. But I actually presented this presentation 4 years ago. And as I was preparing this, I thought this was actually good because I had spent back 4 years ago, I actually spent a lot of time on this presentation, and I only presented to you once. So I thought, now this is a good opportunity to present it to you a second time, you know, so that at least the work that I did 4 years ago is getting some kind of value. But let's go straight to it. It's a nice diagram, isn't it? It's just a blank page. How do you like that diagram? All right, we've got this horizontal line, and let's keep going, Andrew. This horizontal line represents the application of grace. So to the left, you have no grace, and as you travel to the right, you apply more and more grace in your life. And then you have a vertical line. There you go. And this line represents law. And so down at the bottom, there's no law, and as you travel up, there is law, or the application of law. So this gives us actually the possibility of having four different zones. The first one is a zone which there is absolutely no application of law and no application of grace. Then we have the second one, which is that I've given zone number two, which there is no application of law, but just application of grace. Okay, then zone number three, there is no grace, but just law. And in the fourth zone, which is actually what we're kind of aiming for, is the right balance between law and grace. So let's continue on, Andrew, as far as law is concerned, there is the letter of the law, the intent of the law, the spirit of the law, and down the bottom, there is the rejection of law or ignoring law altogether. And I've added two things in terms of grace is concerned. The application of grace needs to be applied with wisdom from above. But most of the time what happens is that we see grace applied, if you want to, according to man's wisdom. So when we have grace with no law, generally speaking, it's the application of grace according to man's wisdom. And this is where we've got to be careful, is that when we apply man's wisdom, oftentimes we want to be compassionate according to our own thinking towards people, and we just apply grace, but we do not apply law or the understanding of God's word. What does God's word say in certain contexts? So let's continue on here. No grace, no law. What do we have? We have anarchy. So we just can't have society or a community built on no grace and no law. Next one. Grace without law is permissiveness. You just do, I just do what I want. And that's what man's wisdom does. It gives us kind of permission to do what we want, when we want, how we want. Well, that's not how the Word of God, that's not what we read in the Word of God. And then we have no grace, just law. We have bondage and legalism. And that's where oftentimes we have seen just the strict application of law in people's lives, and it's ended up putting us under bondage and legalism. So this is where we want to be. We want to have a good balance between law and grace, and that is freedom and life. Let's continue on, Andrew. So what we've seen is this kind of this pendulum. And it took me a long time to get that pendulum thing wrong, right? Okay, so you're just going to see, you're going to click on that, and we're going to see the pendulum actually go from self-condemnation, bondage and legalism leads to self-condemnation. Permissiveness, you want to press on that, leads to self-exaltation. And freedom and life leads to self-crucified. Okay, now let's look at the pendulum, because this is a beautiful side, all the work I put into it. See, what we've seen is that we've kind of bypassed the whole freedom and life thing, and we've gone and we've seen over time, we've gone from bondage and legalism, and we've kind of shifted the pendulum to the whole self-exaltation things to permissiveness without bringing a balance between the two. Now, we're going to see this thing go around in circles. See, it's going back. Now, I don't want to bring you back into bondage and legalism, so that's not my intent. Neither do I want us to stay in permissiveness. So if you want to keep clicking, we're going to kind of see that it's going around in circles. All right, click again and it should take us to the next should take us to the next slide. That's it. Freedom and life, self-crucified. Jesus talks about us worshiping him in spirit and in truth, with both the application of grace and law, but law in grace. Grace with the wisdom from above. Wisdom is the expression of the Holy Spirit. It's revealed wisdom from God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. And on the other hand, if we want the right application of law, not law for self-justification, not law for trying to appease the wrath of God, but law in terms of understanding the purpose of the Word of God, then we apply law according to the spirit of the law, to the intent of the law. Law is the expression of God's Word. So what we have spirit and truth. We have the work of the Spirit. We have the work of the Word of God, or the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ. On one hand, we have the breath of life, which is the Ruach, and on the other hand, we have the living word in action, which is the Rhema. And there we have the work of the Spirit, of spirit and truth in our lives. Wisdom from above, the intent of the law. And I believe that if we get that right with self-crucified, we will enjoy life with freedom and life. Why don't we stand? So, Father God, I just pray that today what we've heard in kind of a summary kind of way is that we want to yield our lives to you so that you can fulfill in us what you want, so that you can fulfill in us what you've purposed for us all the time, is that we can live lives that are full and free, that glorify you, that honors you, that honors the whole concept of life the way you designed it to be. In Christ Jesus, with the application of your word in our life, setting us free and enabling us to enjoy life to the full. I pray today that your word would bring us that life, that your word, as it is sown into our life today, would actually bring forth the fruit that you intended. Allow our hearts to be, Lord Jesus, an environment in which your word can actually fulfill its purpose. Soften our hearts, I pray today, that our lives might yield fruit to glorify you. Fruit of righteousness, I pray, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great afternoon tonight. Graham is doing his last message on the gifts of the Spirit. Why don't you come and listen to that? It'd be great. God bless you.